reward each one as his work deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Okay, let's pray these words together. Can you put the heart to it, okay? Give us faith to receive your word and understanding to know what it means and the will to put it into practice. I receive it as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. God, speak to us this morning. Open up our ears, open up our eyes so that we can see you, so that we can have an experience with you this morning where you spoke to us through your word. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, I don't know if I can say this out loud. I don't know if it's allowed, but I'm pretty sure at one point in my life, since I've come back here as pastor, it was the summer of 2018, and I don't know where we started following on the journey, but I think I prayed the prayer, I want to be a little more like Ted. And, you know, because I see you, I'm just saying, I see you, and this isn't about Ted right now, but I guess I'm sharing about Ted. I really love what you do in our community, Ted. But yesterday kind of felt like we were doing a little bit of that, and it really made my heart just kind of burst. You know, when we have the opportunities, because Ted goes every week, and Kara, you guys touch our community in ways that just so beautiful. The shower trailer, the meals, all of it. Saving people from homelessness. I love it. Yeah, come on. Yes. We know it's all about Jesus, but there's people in our lives that inspire us, right? And you guys have inspired me. And I want to be more like Jesus. And I want our church. Remember we were talking about last week to make all things new in our community. And that's what it felt like this weekend. And so I just want to encourage you as you see those opportunities, you know, next month we have the opportunity to, you might think it's just a simple thing, to go and sing some carols and put on an ugly Christmas sweater and, you know, bake some goods and go to an assisted living center. But it's a really big deal to the people that are there. And we're going to have that opportunity. That's our next outreach. And so if your gift is baking the best, you know, chocolate chip cookies or Christmas cookies, use your gift. If your gift is not singing, but just being present and worshiping, maybe you can't sing, but you can worship, come and sing with us. You know, we have an opportunity to make all things new everywhere we go. And I just want to keep on encouraging us and celebrate what God did this week. So anyway, 16 weeks we've been on this journey. Wow. And lots of weekends in between. We've had little interruptions here and there. Not interruptions, but, you know, God ordained. Sorry, Nick. It's not interruptions, but you know, all this is the path of the. If you guys don't know, I've asked some of our elders and pastors to step in and speak in a more regular fashion, and I hope you. I love it. I love to hear the voice of Jesus through these guys, and it, what it does for me is it gives me a little bit of more of a respite when I'm working my 40 hours a week with chaplain duties now. And so finding the rhythm and the time and having those weekends off, if you want to call it that, it's not really what it is, but it's having a break from preparing a message allows me to kind of keep up, can keep that rhythm. And I've just so appreciated that. We have, by the way, we have amazing elders and pastors. And so anyways, I'm just talking a lot this morning, so I should maybe focus. 16 weeks. And next week is gonna be our All Worship Sunday. And if you've never been to one of those, it's exactly what it sounds like. We spend our time with music worship, is what we mean by that. And we just kind of lay the space out, platform his presence, and lean in. And that's part of Destiny's DNA, and we've just felt the Holy Spirit's lead to keep continue doing that when we have the opportunity. And so it's also potluck, bring some food to share, and we'll have a good time eating afterwards. But then I plan to kind of wrap the whole book of Revelation up with one more message. We're going to hit 17 before we end, and then we'll go into our Christmas series. But God is good. And this journey, in case you're just jumping in, is all about Jesus. Anybody pick that up? I hope you've picked that up. It's all about Jesus. And Revelation is kind of crazy. It has a lot of symbolism, imagery, and pictures, and some of it is a little intimidating. But ultimately, Revelation is about Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus, and it's the unfolding of Jesus. So it's not all about a chart. And maybe we're coming down to the end, and you're like, this is the last week. Surely Pastor Sean's going to bring out the chart. He's going to bring the chart up. But the revelation isn't meant to be a crystal ball. It isn't meant to be a crystal ball that just shows us the times and how exactly things are going to work out at the end. Revelation is that Jesus shows us no matter what happens in this world and no matter how it happens, Jesus is above it all. That's it. Jesus is above it all, and he is at the end of it all. Jesus is running history. And so if you need a diagram, it's the picture of the risen Jesus. Amen. That's the picture. That's what Revelation is all about. And God in these pages is trying to draw us to Jesus, not trying to draw us necessarily to a script or a plan, but to draw us to a person, and that person's name is Jesus. So we saw last week, we saw the new heaven and the new earth, and praise God that there's a new heaven, but I'm also excited that there's a new earth. And I know it sounds terrible to say this, but it's really true. If you just thought about this for a moment, I think you would probably agree that most people that you talk to aren't that fired up about going to heaven. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I am. But no, I mean, yes, in the sense that we're not gonna go to the other place. Yes, I'm excited for that. But for a lot of people, heaven is floaty and it's ethereal. And it's puffy clouds and the little angels with the bows, right? And they're like, I was made for purpose. I have gifts and abilities, and I want to do something meaningful with my life. And it feels like all of a sudden heaven, we're just floating in the by and by and forever and ever, you know, with the harp music playing in the background. And a lot of people aren't thrilled about that. But I'm telling you, it's not only a new heaven, it's also a new earth, and it's an upgraded earth. Go back and listen last week if you missed it. It's an earth like we've never seen before. It's an earth like God intended it in the first place, and you're gonna be in it, and you're gonna know who you are, and you're gonna know the people around you, and you're gonna be doing the things that are meaningful and significant. You're gonna be the living life to the fullest. I mean, talk about John 10:10. You're going to be living life to the full. I'm just saying there's nothing on this earth that you're going to look back on in the new earth and go, wow, I wish we could go back. That's where we're headed. And at the center of it all is who? Jesus. So we come down to the last section. So we're going to begin. We went through verses 1-5 last week. We're going to begin in verse 6 today. And it says, and the angel said to me, these words are faithful and true. This revelation, you can depend on it. We've heard that a few times through this book. There are very few things you can depend on in life, right? But people are going to let you down. Life is going to let you down. But I promise you one thing that is not going to let you down, and it is these words. It's this revelation and every other thing in the book of God that is faithful and true. And I'm so glad that we have it. We have the privilege today of opening up the miracle of the living word of God. Most of you probably, you have one with you today, even if it's on your phone, or it's in your car, or if it's in the home, you have the living word of God. And I don't know if you saw it, but did you guys see the celebration that happened this week with YouVersion, the Bible app? Did you guys read that or see that? Most people just refer to it as the Bible app. It celebrated 1 billion installs this week. They don't make a penny from it. It's free access to everybody. From day one, it's been free and available with anybody with internet or cell service. And according to their analytics, the app averages 300 opens per second. In fact, get this, the biggest day of usage in history, when I was looking at this last week, of the Bible app was last Sunday. And so more people are turning to the scripture today perhaps than at any other time in history because it's available, so widely available. The word is living. The kingdom is not slowing down. And so today we're not looking for opinions. We're not looking for some guy to stand up and say, you know, what he thinks and tell everybody what his views are. We've got faithful and true words before us today, okay? And so I just pray that Holy Spirit will allow us to take them to heart. So let's keep on reading. The angel said, "The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets," so these prophets weren't just writing whatever, they were inspired by God. "He sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place." I want to just highlight this phrase in this chapter. Soon and quickly on your notes, if you're taking notes, are key words in chapter 22. Soon and quickly. So this is going to soon take place. We're going to see them four times in this chapter. We're talking about urgency here. And then in verse 7, we're down to the end of it all. We're down to the revelation of Jesus. And then once again, look what happens. Tell me what you see if you got your Bible open in verse 7. What happens? The words that are in what color? Red, okay? What does that signify? Okay, Jesus is talking. So Jesus steps in at the end of Revelation, and now he's weighing in on the revelation of himself. I love it. A lot of people think that Jesus only spoke in the Gospels, but here at the end of the age, Jesus is speaking, and here's what he says. He says, "Behold." That's another word we've seen a lot, right? "Behold, look, look." And what does he say? "I am coming quickly." So there's so much to be packed into that sentence. "Behold" is an operative word for us. Pay attention, be awake, be alert, be ready, be watching, keep looking, don't be distracted. Amen. And then he says, "I am." What a beautiful phrase. "I am that I am," right? We know that one. That's who he is, that's who God is. And he says, "I'm coming quickly." Others translate it as soon. So there's number two, he's coming soon. He's coming quickly. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then look what happens. "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers and the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." In other words, This whole situation was beyond anything that he could imagine. And yes, there's God in the midst. And yes, there's thrones. And yes, there's thunder. And there's worship that's going on in the throne room. And there's brightness. And he's seen the pictures of the new heaven and the new earth. But even this angel somehow that appears on the scene is so majestic and otherly that John just falls down at his feet. And he's hearing the words of the angel, but he's getting all caught up in just the splendor of the moment. And he falls at the feet of the angel. And the angel's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't do that. Hello, I'm just an angel. I'm just a fellow servant with you and the prophets and all those who keep the word of the scroll." And then he says the most powerful two words. He says, "Worship." Say it with me. Everybody, 3, 2, 1. "Worship God." Amen. And I was like, "Whoa. Wait a minute, whoa, stop, put on the brakes." When you have these moments when you've been poring over something for a long time and then you're just kind of cooking along at the very end, you go, "Whoa, this is it, this is what I've been waiting for." Because revelation is a lot, right? We've been walking through it. And if you try to sum it up, how would you sum it up? Well, Jesus is coming. That would be a good way to sum it up. Jesus is Lord. That'd be a good way to sum it up. The systems of this world are going down. That'd be a good way to sum it up. But man, when I saw these words and you hear it from this angel, I was like, that's it. That's the two-word summary of the book of Revelation. Worship God. Worship God. We've seen in these last few chapters how people are falling away and worshiping the beast and the false prophet. They're taking 666 on their head. They're worshiping something other than God. We've seen this right from the very beginning of scripture, all the way through every page. We even see Jesus coming out of the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And what does the enemy tempt him with at the end of the day? "If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything." right? And Jesus knew that the day was coming when it would all be summed up in these two words, worship God. And in no uncertain terms, Jesus said to him, I already have all that. and I'm already running history to its conclusion. Thank you very much. And so I'm going to worship the Lord God Almighty. So this is the challenge for today, and this is the reward. We've seen it in the pages before. And they'll sit on thrones and they'll rule. Who's it talking about? Those who did not worship the beast, right? Or its image and the false prophets, or take the mark of the beast, but they stay faithful and true. They knew their worship was the most important thing. It was the most important thing in their heart. And they said, No, I'm gonna worship God. I'm gonna worship God. You can silence me, you can take my life. I could be a martyr, but you're not gonna take my worship. I'm gonna be true to the very end. I'm not gonna be deceived by any idol. Worship God. That word worship is a Greek word. And I know a lot of times we're like, why don't we need to know all the Greek words? And I get that. I get that sometimes it's cleared up in English. But number three on your notes, this is the word proskuneo in Greek. And it means to fall down in total capitulation, to kiss. It has two contexts. And one of them, and he says it in the line before, he said, I, John, fell down, proskuneo, to worship at the feet of the angel. That's proskuneo. It's not this. It's not arms folded, you know, kind of worship. It's not kind of thinking about worship. It's not, you know, hands in the pocket worship. It's not even one hand halfway, you know, whatever. It's falling on your face. I'm on my face. Worship. And included in it is the intimacy of an embrace and a kiss, of affection to the Holy of Holies. And so proskuneo, it appears 24 times in the book of Revelation. Worship God. Worship God. And then he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one, this is an interesting passage, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. You would think if we were writing this that we would say right at the end, if you're doing wrong still, don't, right? Don't do that. And the one who is filthy, still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous and still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy, still keep himself holy. Why? The key phrase here, I think, is for the time is near. For the time is near. What do we make of this phrase? I think of two things. I think number one, we make of it that it's time. And maybe God is trying to convey to us through John that, look, this is it. It's time. So if you're choosing to go away from God, go away from God. If you're choosing to go with God and do it with everything you've got, go with God. Because it's time right now. The time is near. I think he's just putting it all on the table again, like in the Old Testament where he said, choose you this day who you will serve, right? Choose. Choose now. Let's go. Right? Yeah, or you want to go into the darkness, then run into, you want to run into the light, then run into the light. And the answer that was in the Old Testament was what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But choose now. The time is near. If you want to go the ways of the wicked, then go the ways of the wicked. If you want to go the way of God, then go the way of God. Just make up your mind right now because the time is near. But I also want to believe that this other message is powerful, where it says, do not seal up the words of the prophecy. In other words, it's not done yet. It's not sealed yet. And so it's going to be sealed. And when it's sealed, it can't be unsealed. It's going to be completely sealed. And when it's completely sealed, there's no backing up, right? But it's not sealed yet. Meaning even today, there's an opportunity where someone could say, for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Come on. And so the opportunity is still here for somebody to turn to Jesus. I'm just thinking that even right now, right in this gathering, there's somebody right now, you're just feeling that in your bones this morning. Time is near. Time is near, and it's time for you and your family to come to me. And this is the reality that's at the end of the age. Jesus, again, he speaks into the revelation and he says, behold, same phrase from earlier, behold, are you with me? Anybody awake? Is anybody watching? Is anybody paying attention, right? Behold, look, anybody not distracted enough to see? He said, behold, I am. They aren't, I am. Behold, I am coming quickly. That's the third time we see that word, right? I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. In other words, I'm not coming empty-handed. And I will reward each one as his work deserves. I am, in case you don't know fully, the Alpha and the Omega. Yes, the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the first and the last. It starts with me and it ends with me. I bookend everything. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Can we just say that together? The first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the beginning and the what? The end. So we see this in Revelation 1 where he says the very same phrase. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega. And he says later, I am the beginning and the end. He says in Revelation 1, I am the one who was and who is to come. So he opens Revelation with, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And he ends Revelation with, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He wants us to know the way it all goes down is, I start it and I end it. Does anybody know the first verse of the Bible? What does it say? In the beginning, okay. In the beginning, what? God created heavens and the earth. Very good. So in the beginning, who's the beginning? Jesus, yeah. He says, I am the beginning and the end. What if we say, I was just looking at this verse this weekend. What if we said it this way, number 6 on your notes, in the Jesus, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is actually throughout scripture, we see that Jesus was the agent, the agent in creating the world. In the beginning, Jesus, we see him all throughout Genesis, but I mean, right from the beginning, I am the beginning and I am the end. And so here comes at the end of your Bible, verse 20, where it says, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus will be with all. Amen. He gets the first word. He gets the last word because he is the word. Jesus is the beginning and the end of it all. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. You can dig deeper into those. This word beginning in Greek, it means arc, like archetype. He's the archetype of everything that is, right? He's the terminating point and the reason for everything that is. He says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral persons, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. So make no mistakes, Revelation is still calling it like it is. And at the very end of the age, it's like saying, look, you don't have to be in the city. You don't have to be in New Jerusalem. Outside the city are people who love to practice falsehood. And you and I can look around right now or look into our own hearts and see weakness where we stumble still. But we can look around us and see people reveling in the wrong, right? And this is saying, yeah, they don't want to be in the holy city and inside the gates where the tree of life is, they're going to get what they want. But it's going to be outside of the city that Jesus is bringing down from heaven. And he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things for the churches. The churches. Now, we haven't seen them for a minute, the churches. We had 7 letters to the churches at the beginning of Revelation, and then we were in the throne room of God, and then we saw the unfolding of eternity and the kind of the cosmic conflict that comes at the end of the age, but not so much the church. We saw saints and we saw overcomers, but now we see the church again. Why? I don't know. I believe that this revelation right here is for the church. Just to let you know, there's a lot of opinions. There's always a lot of opinions. But some people think that, you know, we get raptured out before all the hard stuff happens. And one of the reasons that there was no church in this book for the last little while. Okay? But all of a sudden, we come to the end, and this testimony is for the church. So that leads me to lean more towards the fact that the church is in the midst of it all with this testimony of Jesus bearing us up the entire time and reminding us again today that the day of the Lord is at hand. The time is near. He's coming soon. So let's be alert and let's be ready. And let's be aware and let's not forget that it doesn't take hardly anything for a person to drift away from the truth of these faithful and true words. If you want to drift, do you know what you have to do to drift? Somebody said it. Yep. Nothing. I'm borrowing this from a message that Christine Kane gave at Passion a few years ago. What's required to drift? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, right? If you're drifting, you're just floating, leaning back. You just sit there in the calm of zero circumstance decisions. And at the end of the day, what do you find out? You find that there actually was a consequence, and that is that you drifted from the things of God. I was looking at this next verse. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And I was expecting, when I looked into the Greek text here, to find that word, Maranatha. That's what we sang earlier. It was a byword of the early church. They would sing it and they would pray it. It would be a greeting that they would share with each other. Maranatha, because that word meant come, Lord Jesus. And I thought, surely, you know, it comes out of Revelation. I learned something in this talk, which I hope I do every time I do a message. But I thought, you know, that's what I'm going to find here. And so when I looked for come and come here in the Greek, they said come. They didn't say Maranatha. It was the Greek word for come. And I was like, okay, so where is Maranatha? So I did a quick search, and Maranatha only appears once in the Bible. It's in Corinthians 16, and I'll show you what it says. It's at the end of a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And these are the final greetings. And in most of the books in the Epistle of Paul, you don't have too many scripture highlights in the final greetings. But this one's amazing. It says, the churches of Asia greet you. Now, I don't know if this registers. The churches of Asia. Does that ring a bell for anybody? From the first few chapters of Revelation, right? The seven churches in Revelation received letters in chapters 2 and 3. That's what we're referring to here. And there were churches in the province of Asia. So he's right there in the churches to which the letters in Revelation are written. So here he is, and he says, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, we know that the house church that they led was the church in Ephesus, where we get the book Ephesians. So all of a sudden, things are starting to connect together. All the brothers and sisters greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Somebody's like, I've been waiting for you to get to that verse, Pastor Sean, for a long time, because there's been somebody that I've been looking at sitting at the other part of the congregation, and I'm ready for a holy kiss. All right. But so the greeting, it says, is in my own hand, that of Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. And it says, Maranatha. There it is. That word's an Aramaic word for Maranatha. Come, Lord. So follow me for just a second for a little connect the dots Bible study. Paul's in Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila, who are leading this amazing church in their house, which is on fire sometime in the 50s AD. And 40 years later, a significant number in God's economy, remember us talking about this? The years that, 40 is the years that Israel like wandered in the desert, right? 40 years later. So in 96 or 95 AD, in chapter 2 of Revelation, they said, write this letter to the church of Ephesus. And what did they say to the church of Ephesus? This is the church that's on fire. Write it to them, the one that Paul is leading, the one that Priscilla and Aquila are pastoring on his behalf. the one that meets in their house, right? The one from which you wrote, the Corinthian letter, the one to whom they all sent their greetings, the one who is in it for the kingdom, write it to them. 40 years later, I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Remember that? You're still doing the stuff, he said, but the fire of the proskuneo and the brace of God with everything I have in him, that's gone. So look and be awake and intend not to drift. Make it your ambition. So this is where I pull in Maranatha to Revelation. Make it your ambition to live Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. There's that tension. There's in the here and the not yet. Not just saying, Lord Jesus, come, but to be living when you come. Live so that when Jesus comes, you're already coming his direction. Right? And so it's like, I know you're coming soon. You're gonna find me looking for you as much as I'll find you looking for me, because I'm not just saying, come, Lord Jesus. I am coming, Lord Jesus. I'm coming your way. Because I know you're coming my way, and I know the worlds are overlapping right now. And so while we're in this earthly world, I'm living as if I were already a citizen of heaven. I am living in it as if I already have residence in the heavenlies with you. And I'm not necessarily trying to blow up earth. I like what I do and where I live and where I get to experience here. But I'm not ready to get rid of all this until you come. I'm going to steward it well. And so Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But my heart is set on that heavenly city. And the response in the text is, the Spirit and the bride say, what? What did they say? Come. And let the one who hears say, what? Come. So not only are we saying, Lord, come, but we're understanding that there's still an opportunity here. This is so powerful. So yes, come, but then the verse breaks down and focus shifts again. It says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires. Does anybody desire today to take the water of life without cost? Life, come. It's not sealed yet. And right here at the end, he's inviting again. He's inviting on his behalf today. Is anybody thirsty? What does that mean? It means you drink it all up. But maybe it means, Pastor Lai, you drank it all up, but that didn't do it. You did all this stuff, but that didn't do it for you. You gathered as much as you could, earthly possessions, but that didn't do it for you. He didn't do it for you. She didn't do it for you. That person didn't do it for you. It didn't fill me up. And I'm still thirsty in my soul. And he's saying, if you're thirsty, you come. I'm coming, but you come and take freely the gift of the water of life. There is something that satisfies, and it's Jesus. And it's free. And he's offering his life to you. It says, testify to everyone who hears these words or the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. And so he testifies again. Jesus says, yes, I am coming what? Quickly. It's the fourth one. Let's just say that together. Yes, I am coming quickly. You could say, yes, I am. That's Jesus, right? Yes, I am that I am. But he says, yes, I am coming quickly. So what is our answer today? Our answer is, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I love how in the midst of this text, if we back up just a little bit, I skipped over this verse, he tells us one last time who he is, and he tells us that he is the bright morning star. And he says, I sent my angel to the churches, and I want to make sure that the churches hang in there, and I want to make sure that they don't drift away, even in one generation, from on fire to you know, you need to renew your first love. I want you to be looking. But I want you to know that I am the root and the descendant of David and the bright morning star. So that last name that Jesus gives us, besides his name, Jesus, is morning star. And this translation doesn't capitalize it that I took it from, but I would. It's his name, right? I'd say that this is capital morning star. This is capital morning star Jesus. It's not the little M morning star of Lucifer, whose name was morning star, who fell like a star out of heaven. Remember that? He was cast down to earth, and you see that in Isaiah 14, verse 12. It's lowercase morning star, not Jesus case morning star, not the name of Jesus, which is the bright morning star. So I just want to ask the question, why did he leave that to us right at the end as he's saying, yes, I'm coming soon? So, you know, why did he leave us bright morning star? Because here's the thing. Do you know, what is the bright morning star for planet Earth? Anybody know that? Anybody? If you don't know, it's Venus. Yeah. So for us, planet Earth, Venus is the morning star. Venus is the third brightest object in the sky after the sun and the moon. And so the sun will go down and the darkness will cover the earth, and eventually it'll get really, really, really dark before sunrise again. And then Venus appears. You see how bright it is? In the darkest part of the night. And what Venus says to me is that dawn is coming. When you see Venus in the east, you know that dawn is on the way. And so yes, darkness has come, and now maybe the deepest darkness has fallen. But there is a light in the deep darkness telling us that morning is on the way. And the very last name that Jesus gives his church is, he says, I am the bright and morning star. Worship team, you can come on up. So when it gets dark and darker, and at the darkest, you're going to see Jesus in the light, letting us know that dawn is on the way. And so we can say, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. We're saying, come, dawn of God. Come, dawn of God. Come, dawn of the new heaven. Come, dawn of the new earth. We can feel the darkest night, but in the darkest night is the bright and morning star. That star doesn't shine in the morning. It shines to tell you that the morning is near. And so we answer and we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe not today because my neighbor isn't ready. But amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Not today because I really believe my coworker is close. But come, Lord Jesus. See, feel the tension in that. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.